The Bible said that David was jealous of the wealthy and jealous of the rich and jealous of this one. What he didn't comprehend is, if that's all the heaven they're going to get, Lord, pour it on them. My heaven is somewhere else. It's not in this world. But yet God gives us this oasis in the middle of this dry place. And every time we come into the house of God, His presence meets with us. It's because of your praise. He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. And you have refused to give up on your worship. And I want to commend you for that. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Again, on these holidays, we have AM services only so that we can let you have some family time. And so there will not be any service this evening because of the holiday. And so enjoy your weekend with your family and your Monday as well. Matthew 6 and 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I want to preach about that just a little while this morning, and I'd like to title my message simply, Repeat After Me. Repeat after me. Amen. I've learned through digging this out a little bit that the Lord doesn't mind hallelujah. 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 He doesn't mind thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's vain repetition that grinds on his nerves a little bit. And so he's telling us to avoid that. Amen. So we're going to preach about it a little bit. Repeat after me. Holy Ghost, we ask, Lord, for your will to be done in this time. God, we constantly ask you to bless our preaching and our reaching and our teaching. Everything that we do on this platform, knowing that pulpit personality is not enough to accomplish what God's will is for this church. So we ask you to let us walk in the Holy Ghost and fulfill the will. In the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus, God richly blesses your seated just now. Amen. A new preacher came to town. First day in the pulpit, he had no tie. The elder said, we have a tie policy in this church. Preacher went to his car, and the only thing he could find was jumper cables. So he used them for a tie. He asked the congregation, will this work? One stately gentleman stood up and said, yes, but don't you start nothing. Well, I've come today to start something. I forgot the jumper cables, but sounded a little uncomfortable to me, but I've come today to start something. Amen. Matthew 6 and 7, again, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Amen. Vain repetition can also be explained as, and here's the nuts and bolts to it. It can be explained as something wrong, saying something wrong so many times in your head or in your mind that it seems right. Saying something wrong so many times in our minds and in our heads that it begins to seem right. People do things and call it church. People do things and call it a relationship or religion, and it has absolutely no Bible base whatsoever. But they've done it so long and said it so many times until it feels or it seems. Everybody say the word seem. It seems right. That's when you go back to the scripture and you rip your seams. You just rip them up. Amen. I don't know if any of you have ever been in elementary school and you're so active until one of those days you've been over and you busted the seat of your britches right out. But I've been there and done that. And it's embarrassing even if you're 8 years old, probably more. You get a little older and you don't care and you say, well, what about that? But when you're 8 years old, it's the whole world. You can get suicidal. It's devastating. Amen. And so yet, as it was in the times of Jesus, when that the church of the day could not receive what he was saying, the church of the day could not believe what he taught, the church of the day could not believe his doctrine or the good news that he was carrying for them of the day. And in fact, it saddens me to even say this, but it was the church of the day that crucified him. Let's just wipe him out and get rid of everything. You see, it was time for the church of the day to go and to rip what seemed like was right in the past and open the door for a new day in the future. For the Old Testament was being transformed into the New Testament, and the shadow was there. And so when the truth is spoken, we should not judge it until we have verified whether it's truth or not. Don't you ever accept a man and what he is preaching until you match it with the Word of God. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're as handsome as I am. I don't care if they preach as good as I do. And you know I'm kidding. But I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what their name is. Doesn't matter what their name brand is. Doesn't matter what the church name is. You better match what they're saying with the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that will set you free. It's not that man. Do you hear me today? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you go back to the scripture and you rip your saint. Proverbs 14 and 12, amen, where the word of the Lord says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, it should not matter how it feels, because feelings and emotions are going to come to us because of the culture we were raised in, or the atmosphere we were raised in, or the people that we were raised by. I got the news last night from a young man that the only time he felt like he was bonding to his family was when he was making dope with his mom and dad. When he was cooking heroin and all of that stuff with his mother and his dad. He said, that's the only time I could bond with my mom and dad. Amen. Can you imagine how he would feel the first time he heard that he needed to repent of his sins? That he needed to be baptized? That he needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost? That would absolutely be shocking. But for him to receive that, he would have to rip all of his seams. What seemed right to him, what seemed close to him. Amen. We're asking a lot from this world. I'm asking a lot from you. But I'm telling you, my God has got a lot to give. He's got a lot to share. There's a miracle waiting for you. The anointing is waiting for you. Authority, dominion, power. Hallelujah. And all it's going to take is ripping some seams. Amen. What could have possibly felt right to you? What felt good to you? Amen. I got one of the greatest compliments this week on Facebook via my wife. I don't have Facebook, but where a denominational preacher in our county, he liked what I was preaching in one of our services, so they're watching us. He said, I like what you were preaching. Amen. And you know what I was preaching? I was preaching baptism in Jesus' name. I was preaching one God. I was preaching holiness and righteousness. I was preaching, and he does not preach that. Could it be that somebody's beginning to rip off some seams? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to see what thus saith the word of God. I'm not bringing to you what I feel. I'm not bringing to you what I think. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said that we work, we move according to the Spirit of God, not by sight and not by what we feel, because according to the way we were raised, we feel certain things certain ways. But the Lord wants to break through all of that. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. The Spirit will draw you, but the doctrine will hold you. And we need to be held into this stuff. Amen. Praise God. And so repetition, listen, here's what the Lord prefers. The Lord prefers a more sure repetition. Amen. A more sure repetition. Repetition defined is a reproduction or a copy or a replica. When you repeat something of value. Repeat something that has a true foundation and it has great worth. Amen. Paul said in Corinthians 15:31, he said, I die daily, every day. It didn't mean he took his life every day and he had to have a miracle. It means he repented every day, just in case there was something in his life that was not like his God. It was valuable and of great worth to him to repent of the manner of men. Paul said, I don't want to walk like just every man. I don't want to do what everybody, so that his rejoicing in Jesus Christ could stand the test of time. Anybody can get a blessing one time. Anybody can come to church one time. Anybody can worship God one time. But Paul said, I want you to stand the test of time and quit you like men and take up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. What Paul is saying doesn't apply to skimpy, shallow surface conditions. Some of us desire eyes to see the deep of the Holy Ghost, the deep of the Spirit. We desire ears to hear the holy. We want hearts to pulsate the perimeters of the righteous. Amen. There are world changers in this house. Amen. There are world changers in this house. Praise the Lord. We've got several young people that are on their way out of the country. Amen. And going to serve God in foreign countries for several months at a time. Amen. Hallelujah. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Our nation's young people are rising to the challenge and they are shaking themselves. And because of that, they are going to shake our world. And because of that, they are going to change our world. They're ripping out of some seams. It's not the kind of purse you carry. It's not the kind of, listen, do you hear what I'm saying? It's not the kind of clothes you're wearing. It's not my suit coat. It's not my tie. Amen. It's not the way I fix my hair. Hallelujah. It's what I am allowing God to do in my life, what I'm letting God do in my mind, what I'm letting God do in my heart and in my spirit. And they're preparing to change their worlds. There's world changers in here. Hallelujah. Amen. You may not think it, but I'm telling you right now, Brother Patrick cooked 1,000 hot dogs Friday night. I didn't count them, but it looked like 1,000. Amen. And 2,000 hamburgers. And there were other people helping him. What did you do? You changed your world. You're changing your world. You're working for God. We've got a cleaning crew that probably 90% of you don't even know their names. And they're here scrubbing, cleaning, wiping walls, wiping glass. Hallelujah. And then we've got those that mow all of this property. It doesn't just happen. Then we've got those that preach. We've got those that teach. We've got those that reach. We've got those that Are you hearing me? We're world changers. That's what we are. Hallelujah. Because we refuse to let the world change us. And now we are changing our world. There is no such thing as a worldly Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. My, my, my. I'm just, listen, would do us good. Would do us good. Change. Somebody repeat after me, I believe. Repeat after me, I believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Now ask yourself, what is it exactly that you believe? Now I will point this out. It's good to believe that Jesus is your Savior, but there's a whole Bible here. There's a whole Bible here. That's a good start. Would do us good to see something almost hidden in the Scripture, especially ministry. This can, sometimes it's even hidden to the eyes of ministry. Ezra chapter 10, and you go home and read it. But when Ezra wept, the people repented. Not when he had something snazzy to say. Not when he had a good clip in his sermon. But the Bible said when Ezra wept for the people began to repent. Hallelujah. The Bible said when Ezra fasted, the people began to follow. And the Bible said when he began to preach, they obeyed the word of God. There are repeats in every printed pattern of cloth. Have you ever noticed that? There's repeats in floor designs. There's repeats in wall coverings. When the pattern is repeated, the arms of the sofa match. The flooring has a beautiful repetition. Each pattern is in its right place. Exodus 25, 8 and 9. The Bible said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle. I'm not just building a tabernacle in the wilderness. In fact, the Lord was so serious about it. He said, Moses, you don't build it exactly like I'm telling you, I'll kill you. High priest, listen to me. If you don't do it like I'm telling you, amen, they're going to have to pull you out because by the time you get to the Holy of Holies, I'll kill you. This is serious. There's going to be one way. There's going to be one God. There's going to be one baptism. There's only going to be one faith. And you better get it right because this is just a shadow. Read your Bible. Don't get huffed up and say, I don't believe what that man's saying. I'm not just saying something. I'm talking about the Word of God. Amen. The pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. All of this stuff in the tabernacle that you never hear preached, all of this, this brazen laver, all of this, this altar of sacrifice, these candlesticks, this showbread, this holiest of holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat itself. That's not just pieces of furniture that some carpenter decided to make. It represents something all the way to the rapture. And we better get to preaching about it. We better get to teaching about it. Because we are under the same mandate that they were in the Old Testament. If they didn't do it right, they didn't make it. And if we don't get this right, we will not make it. Hallelujah. Amen. In the building of the tabernacle, God said, repeat after me. Amen. We are to repeat, but it's only after Him. We repeat after Him. I could talk of all the brazen altar and how it represents repentance and dying and sacrifice to the New Testament church. I could talk about the golden laver, how it represents baptism in Jesus' name, for there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Paul said, rise and be baptized in the name of the Lord. His name is, I can go on and on. For the washing away of sins, the Bible tells us, we'll talk about that momentarily, of sins. Amen. We could talk about the Holy of Holies, where that represents the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of God in our lives. Hebrews 10:1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It was a part-time situation until the fulfillment of the law. Amen. That was the church in the wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, could I announce to you this morning that the shadows are gone? We don't bring cows no more. We don't bring turtle doves and pigeons no more. We don't sacrifice lambs and goats anymore. Amen. The individual that stands at this altar with their hands up in submission to God, that is the New Testament sacrifice. We give ourselves to God. I give myself to you. I give myself to you. I want to give to you. I want to sacrifice for you. Not my will, but your will. Not my way, but your way. Lord Jesus, it's not my way or you hit the highway. It's your way or I have to hit the highway. You hear me, Lord? I give myself to you. Would somebody do that right now? Would you humbly submit, surrender, and give yourself to God? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The shadows are gone. Hebrews 10, a shadow is a hint that something is coming. When David killed the giant with a rock, it was a sign that the rock was coming. And he will destroy every giant in our lives. Amen. It was a hint. It was a shadow. Jesus was betrayed, but the light was not delayed. 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which incidentally in the New Testament now is us. So if any man defiles that temple, the Bible said God will destroy it. The only one that has that choice is me. I destroy the temple. I destroy myself. He's not talking about setting fire to this carpet. He's not talking about breaking down these walls and then going home. He's talking about me. A defiled temple of God will be destroyed. He said, you are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Their conscience died in the Old Testament because of vain sacrifice. Day in and day out. Year in and year out. A cow. A turtle dove. A lamb. A pigeon. A goat. Just putting all their conscience on an animal. That's why when Jesus came, the Sanhedrin treated him just like an animal. That's why when it was time for him to be born, his own countrymen sent him to the barn just like an animal. I don't know how you feel about it, but the Holy Ghost just invaded this house. And I feel like there's angels of God telling me, tell them, preacher. You tell them their Savior is not an animal. You tell them their Savior is not a man. You tell them their Savior is a God. You tell them he could have called 10,000. 5,000 legions of us, and we would have rescued him. But he sacrificed so he could eliminate the shadow, and now he has become the sacrificial lamb. But he is no longer. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's master of everything. Whether we make him master of us or not, he's still master. My opinion doesn't mean anything. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. And so, in Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, their conscience died in the Old Testament because of their vain sacrifices. And then all of a sudden came his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That was his death. That was his burial. And then that was his resurrection. What is mine? What is mine? Could we back up to verse 37? Because this is important. They asked Simon Peter the very same thing. This is the man that betrayed Jesus. How many of you knew that? Wave your hand at me. He betrayed him. The truth of the matter is, he probably was worse than Judas. But Judas went and hanged himself before the Lord could get to him and grant him mercy and grace. Simon Peter probably wanted to, didn't have the guts to. And God gave him grace. Gave him mercy. He preached the first gospel message in the New Testament church. The same message we should still be preaching today. Someone said that was apostolic time. Where in the Word of God does it say there was an apostolic time and now there's not? All apostolic means is like the apostles. Shouldn't we live like the apostles lived? Shouldn't we preach what they were taught to preach firsthand? So now the crowd is asking him, after he's received the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Seams began to rip. Conviction began to fall. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? 17 different tongues represented here this day. The Lord timed that one just right. Day of Pentecost. So here they all are. It's a convention. And all of a sudden, the seams rip apart. A little bit like when Jesus said on his cross, it is finished. The curtain in the tabernacle split wide open. It was 9 inches thick. It was badger skin. Nobody did that. God did that. He split that seam. When those people heard what was happening to the apostles, when they came staggering out of that upper room, they were pricked in their heart, felt conviction, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is what he told them. And this is what I'm telling you. He said unto them, repent. This is your crucifixion. When we repent, we die to our sins. He died. He said, to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, for the wiping away and the washing away of your sins. That's our burial. Because the Bible says we're buried with him in baptism. And then he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Three very distinct, different experiences. Because it is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's mine. With that being said, I wonder if there's anybody here today that would love to begin your journey in repeating after him. And come to an altar and just simply repent of your sins. Just asking the Lord for his mercy. Asking the Lord for his grace. I know you believe in Jesus Christ. But what do you believe? Why don't you believe with me and repeat after me, and let's ask the Lord to forgive our sins. Let's ask the Lord to save us, redeem us, set us free, and liberate us. Let's ask him to give us a clear conscience. Let's ask him, hallelujah, saint of God, don't you dare let pride hold you back. Hallelujah. Amen. You won't be perfect until that which is perfect has come. You come and repent with us. Amen. You come and believe God with us. Amen. This is another day. It's time to die. Tomorrow's another day. It'll be time to die tomorrow. It's time to give it. It's time to submit it. It's time to surrender it. It's time to subject yourself to the will of God. Totally surrendering to the will of God. A whole service dedicated to surrendering my life to God and asking for his mercy. Asking him for his grace. Asking him for his hope, and asking him for his help. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Anything I've done that's been offensive. Anything that I've done that has hurt you. Anything that I have done that's come against you and against your will. Anything that's been offensive, Lord, to your ways. Let me split some seams right here, Lord, and just yield to your will. Let me yield to your direction. Let me yield to your guidance, your counsel. Let me yield to your anointing. Let me yield to the Spirit, Lord, that today's church is so opposed of. I don't want to fight it. I don't want to rebel against it. I don't want to turn my back on it. But I want to surrender to it. I want to submit to it. I want to dedicate and relegate my life to it. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost.
Every fear suddenly wiped away. It's here in your presence.
Holy, 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 holy.
It's all of my gain.
Take your time. Talk to God.
Every crown is no longer.
This is not a time to fast forward. See how many people that we can get excited. But this is a time of repentance. This is a time of a determined turnabout. A determined turnaround. Total submission. Total commitment to God. Holy, in your presence, Lord. Everything, 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 everything. present.
All things are new.
All things are new.
Here in your presence.
In your presence.
Everything comes before you.
Presence, Lord.
Dear, in your presence,
I submit, Lord.
All things are new.
I surrender, Lord.
Dear, in your presence,
oh,
everything comes before
you. Lord, you're wonderful.
Glorious,
yes.
Glorious,
glorious, glorious, glorious. Lord, you're wonderful.
Beautiful,
you're beautiful.
Glorious,
you're glorious.
Matchless,
you're matchless. Oh,
beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Glorious.
You're glorious.
Matchless.
Hallelujah. Mercy,
God.
Grace, God. Mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes.
Glorious.
Glorious. Glorious. Jesus' name, Jesus' name.
Here in your presence, we are undone.
We are undone.
Here in your presence,
in your presence,
everything becomes one.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Here in your presence.
Time to recharge. It's time to recharge. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you have asked the Lord for mercy? Raise your hand. How many of you have asked God for grace? Praise the Lord. Do you believe God is able? Do you believe God has granted mercy? Well, then let's just give Him praise. Let's give Him thanks. Let's lift His name and give Him honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God, and thank you, Jesus. Once again, God. Once again. Once again for your grace. Once again for your mercy. Once again for your hope and for your help. Once again for your authority, your dominion. Once again for your passion, your presence. Once again for the love of God shed abroad in all our hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. Glorious. You're glorious. You're glorious. You're wonderful. You're beautiful.
Glorious,
you're good. powerful, glorious,
mighty. We are undone.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And when you preach the truth, and when you administer the truth, when you live in the truth, God verifies with signs and wonders. We have a precious lady that has received the Holy Ghost this morning. We also have one to water baptize in the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you some good news, church. Just beyond that door over there, we're framing some walls and making some dressing rooms. And right where Brother Tony is standing against that wall right there will be the baptistry. We're moving it from our other building to this present building. What we're going to do is because I'm going to tell you, I know North Carolinians. And I can say that because I am one. And when we do stuff that's very personal, we don't want a large audience. We're a little bit backward about that. And so we'll baptize them over there. There'll be a window where you can see, of course, through there. But what they don't know is that they're going to be on camera and we'll be looking at them right here. So they can have all the private time they want, but we're going to be... Amen. And Brother Garrison is helping us with that. Amen. There can't have a church over here at Landmark without some Garrison fingerprints on it, praise God. And already showing forth his expertise. And he and Brother Jeremy and different ones helping us out. I'm a laborer. I just do what I'm told. Hallelujah. And so we're having fun building the baptistry. It's all coming together. God is good. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand. Greet one another.